Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Honor is so important. Did you know that honor can extend your life? I used to tell my children that all the time. Honor your mother and father that it may go well with you. The Bible says that, you know, it'll extend your life, but I would tell them, if you don't straighten up, it's not going to go well for you. Just kidding. But honor will extend your life. And I've taught so many people this. Well, my mom, she was terrible to me. She doesn't care about me, whatever. And I tell them this, and I'll tell you the same thing. Did you know that you can honor someone who's dishonoring? You're not honoring their behavior. You honor because that's who you are. We don't become dishonoring and mirror someone else's dishonor. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to teach you how today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, from my mother's womb. I pray today that this would leave these loved ones empowered, enlightened, and blessed. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And I thank you that long after the flowers fade today, Lord, the ones that were given in honor, we don't minimize these gifts, but long after these things fade, there's something that remains. And that is your word. We thank you for any word that was spoken over us by our mothers. But we honor your word. Even if there was an absence of those honoring words in our life, we honor your word. And today, Lord, we thank you for the womb of development that you put us in. We thank you for the woman you chose for us to be developed in. And today, we honor you and we honor her because that's what you told us to do. And I pray that the blessing of honor would flow into these loved ones' lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing this message, I'm revisiting actually in the last few weeks. I haven't really said anything about this, but I'm revisiting a series I wrote in 2016 called Faithful in the Waiting. And there's some good stuff in that message, in that series. So I'm revising it and I'm bringing it back with more experience. How many of you have ever wrote a devotional, or you wrote down something in your journal and years later you revisited it with a lot more experience? Yeah. Well, today that's what's happening. In this particular message, I visit a subject on preemies. Premature babies. And the high cost of being a premature baby. And we'll get to that in a moment, but I want to start with some scripture to establish where I'm going with this. The first thing I want you to know is that God created us in His image. His. He blessed us with purpose and commanded us to take charge and prosper. Every person in this room has purpose and has an assignment with the dominion power of God to fulfill that assignment. Don't ever take anyone for granted. Sitting next to you is some greatness, some serious greatness. You are greatness. I was in a Paula White service one time and she said, look to the person next to you and tell them, you have greatness inside of you. God created us in his image and he is great. In Genesis 1, 24 through 28, it says this, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, according to its kind. It's important when you see something being repeated, it's important to pay attention to that. We were all created according to our kind. And I'm going to go down a few rabbit trails today because I want to. This generation has lost their mind. We got human beings identifying with animals. You're not a Furby, Pastor Simone said, okay? You were made according to your kind. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. Children think they're giraffes. They think they're unicorns. They think they're frogs. That's just fantasy. That's dreaming. That's playing. We need to teach our children. God created you in his image to have dominion over every living thing on the earth. You're not that kind. You're not a horse. You're not a donkey. You don't get to identify with elephants. You're not a whale. You're not a porpoise. You didn't come from the ocean. You can save the whales all you want, but you are not a mammal. You're a human being that was created by God in his image, and you're after his kind. Well, amen. And I like this part. And God saw that it was good. So we shouldn't treat anything bad. I taught my children, don't treat animals bad. Right? Don't treat anything bad. Because everything that God created, he called it good. So we should be good to people. We should be good to our animals. You may not like certain types of animals, but you don't have to bring them on your person or in your house. Just make sure that if God created it, you treat it good. Okay? Then God said, let us make man in our image. Here we see the conversation of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit talking. According to our likeness. So God is saying, let's make some people according to our kind. You are God-like. You're not God, but you're like God. That'll empower you. Many times we live below our potential because we think somebody else has more God-like power than we do. Listen, everybody in this room was created in God's likeness. That's why I say don't ever underestimate the person next to you. Don't underestimate them based on their social class, where they came from, all these other things that we put on people, labels. If they are a human being, they were made in God's likeness, and there's greatness inside of them. And then God gives us our assignment. Watch this. This conversation is going on between the Godhead, and they say, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. That's why I teach my kids, and they go, oh, there's a bug. I'm like, you have authority over the bug. You have authority because God gave you authority. It bothers me when I see people worshiping creatures. We're not to worship creatures. We have dominion over them. Why would you worship something you have dominion over? That's elevating the thing even above yourself. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Watch this. He created him. He talks about creating him, and then he speaks about them. Because when God looks at a woman, he sees a him that's able to carry a fetus. He sees a him with a womb. He sees a female, a male that's able to carry a fetus. You understand? A woman is a man with a womb. He created him, watch this, and then he lumps it together. Him, male, and female. He created them. Creates the man, takes the woman out of the man, takes a rib out, creates her. She becomes a helpmate. You know what? Every woman in this room is a minister. There's a ministry to motherhood. Don't ever let religion-hearted, theological, sadomasochist men who God loves tell you that you can't minister. You're a minister from the time you come out of the womb. You were created to minister to your family. There is something called the ministry of motherhood. The woman was created to minister to the man. The man was created to protect her. From your mother's womb, women, you have been given one of the greatest assignments on the earth. And that is to carry humanity in your womb. God gave you a space inside your body that does not belong to you. For all of you, is there women, are there children still in here? For all of you raging lunatic females running around the streets carrying signs with vaginas saying that you own that thing and you own the womb that God put on you, you have lost your minds. I'm going to show you, it doesn't belong to you. It's a part of you, but it is God who put it in you, and it's his design, and it's his room of development. It's his room where he does his best work in and through you. You don't get to do everything you want to do with that part of your body. And I will show you, it belongs to God. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Here's your commandment. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, and subdue it. Take charge. Wow. He said it to both of them, the male and the female. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So you, from the very start, when God created them, him, male and female, like himself, he said, produce, prosper, take charge. The earth is mine. I'm putting you on it as stewards. You're going to work together to rule it. You both are powerful. You both have an assignment, but you are physically different. But you need each other to make my plans happen on the earth. And this society, again, has lost their mind. Much of the church is starting to lose their mind. That's not the mind of Christ. To mutilate children and to rip from the bodies that God created the reproductive organs that belong to him to fulfill his purpose on the earth. And to warp their minds to such a degree that they no longer believe that they are who God created them to be. From your mother's womb, God had a purpose and a plan for you. And it is not for you to come out of the womb one way, according to your kind, and then for you to get to decide that you're a lizard or a cat or some other species. You are who God said you are. Destined by God. Created in his likeness exactly the way he wanted you to be. He did not make a mistake. Number two, God forms, he develops, he shapes us in our mother's womb and knows everything about us before he places us there and the rest of the world at birth. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. No baby is a mistake. Before that baby was ever placed in the womb, God already knew it. He knew you. Before the forming even took place. Isn't that interesting? I want you to sit on that for a minute. Before there was even the breaking of a cell, before there was a heartbeat, before there was anything that we could detect, God already knew you. He knew everything about you. He had already written your history. He had written your plan. He had purposed you. He had called you by name. You have value. It doesn't matter what house you grew up in or what womb you came through. God knew you were going to show up on the planet. He knows us before the womb, in the womb, and all the way to the tomb. I love that. Before you were born, I sanctified you, set you apart. I ordained, appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is a word to Jeremiah. So he's telling Jeremiah, look, Jeremiah fought with God over his calling. He cried a lot. Why me? Why'd you choose me? Why do I have to go tell these people this stuff? You know how many times I've asked God that? I've said that to the Lord. Really? You want me to tell them this? You want me to say this? You learn after a while. I'm like, oh no, let's preach some Joel Osteen. His church is big and people like him. I like Joel Osteen. I love Joel Osteen, actually. He's very encouraging. But see, when you try to be somebody else, you're not fulfilling your assignment. You can't be anybody else. You have specific DNA. You have a specific calling. You may have some similarities to someone else, but you know what? Your message is your message. Your voice is your voice. Your tone is your tone. Your personality is your personality. The way you deliver your message or your product or your gift or your mojo or whatever it is that God put you on this earth to do, you got to do you. You got to do it your way, or you're robbing God and the rest of the world of the greatness that he put inside of you. So I stopped worrying about it. I'm just like, here it is, guys. You get what you get. I've developed a lot, you know, I've transformed a lot, I've made a lot of mistakes, but every time I've tried to, you know, simmer down and tone down to try to like placate or please someone else is like, oh my God, what did she just say? You know, I end up going home going, oh, you know, it's like, I just have quit all of that. You too, you are all you, all of the flavors and, you know, perks and quirks and personality jiggies that you've got, you are you. I like red and big jewelry. I like wearing red shoes. I preach loud. I'm a woman. I like it. I love Jesus, and I'm never going to change. This is who I am. Hallelujah. You get what you get. And you are who you are. Sing your song. Write your book. Say it the way you say it. Pray the way you pray. If you're quiet, pray quiet. If you're loud, pray loud. Just try to be a little bit sensitive to the people around you. You know, man, it doesn't mean you have more authority. I've learned that people who are quiet have just as much authority as I do. But like, you know, if you try to fit yourself into a box to be someone else, you are quenching all of the mojo that God put on the inside of you. I'm saying, let's just be who we are. Let's love Jesus. Let's use our voice. Amen? Because from your mother's womb, God knew you were going to have that voice. Like, I love Sean. I wish I was as cool as Sean. I could just stand up and go, Jesus. Jesus. You know what I'm talking about. Or Pastor Simone, or Cher, who can just get up and just do a comedy routine, and we're all just dying laughing, right? You know, I think I'm funny sometimes, but I'm not funny like Sarah. How many of you all can say that? You just, like, some people are born with certain things. And many times we want to marry somebody just like us. Guess what? They aren't just like you. You don't want you. You don't want to marry you. Unless you're a narcissist. And you're already married to you. And then, you know, you don't need anybody else, right? Because you do you just fine. I better get back to the message. Jeremiah 1:5. In the message says this, before I shaped you. That's why I think parents, you need to like foster creativity within your children, but you know, we've seen the carnage of parents going, you have to grow up and do what I do. You have to say it like I say it. You got to do it like I, listen, God shaped you. You are not your mama. You're not your daddy. You're not your brother. You're not your sister. You're you. And God knew all about you. He says, before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Did you know God has holy plans for you? You can run, but you can't hide. I love what Mama Nay said the other day. She said, I said to Sean, you the kind that you got to be slapped, right? You got to be slapped. I laughed. I was like, I love her. I had to be slapped too, Shiny. 100% had to be slapped. I got so sick of myself, I slapped myself too. You know you're crazy when you're walking down the street slapping yourself, right? I fought with me. I never went down the street doing it, but I've seen it. Justin said he saw it when he was a cop. Yep. That's some crazy stuff, yeah? Just knocking yourself out. Somebody must have got up that morning and said, go knock yourself out. And they just went and did it. I don't know. God has holy plans for you. It doesn't mean everybody's going to preach from a platform. But God has a good plan, and it's a right plan. Holiness means a whole plan. There's wholeness in it. There's righteousness in it. There's good in it. There's prosperity in it. He has plans for you. And for Jeremiah, he's saying, I plan for you to be a prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. This conversation, if he could have it with any one of us in here. And let me tell you something. Where you're fighting the most to stay out of is exactly where you need to surrender. Because in that place is where you're going to find you. It's the truth. I remember fighting. And I was thinking, like, you know, I'm good in the corporate world. I'm good with accounting. I'm good with books. I'm good with business. I'm good with all these things. And I'm like, I can hide behind a desk. I can hide in the break room. I can hide in the boardroom. I can hide over here. You know what I mean? And the more I hid, the more miserable I became. And one day I got invited out to the ghetto where I used to sell drugs. And I was standing on a semi-truck flat thing, jiggy. Platform, jiggy's my word right now. Standing out there, we're singing. We got called out there to sing. I'm with a couple of my friends. We're out there singing. I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool. We're a music group. Because I like to sing, you know, and I'm fulfilling my purpose. I'm singing for Jesus. Pastor that's supposed to show up didn't show up. Somebody walks up right up to me. Why couldn't they walk up to everyone else on that platform? Somebody needs to give an altar call. We need somebody, you guys, to pray. Pray, invite people to receive Jesus. I'm like, I came out here to sing background to a track called Stop by the Church. Let me tell you can run, but you can't hide. There's going to come a day where you can't wiggle out of what God has called you to do. And I go over to them. They want us to give an altar call. And then guess what? Drug dealers I used to sell dope to start moving toward the platform. There I am in my church girl dress with my perfect hair. I had been at Big Valley singing in the choir. Going to church. making money, being a corporate manager. But God said, I've called you to be a soul winner. From your mother's womb, you will win souls for me for the rest of your life. Hashtag soul winner, 1964. You. I didn't deliver you to hide behind all this stuff. That's my blessings. Step out there. You got a microphone. Right now. And I went, I opened my mouth. People start weeping. I share my testimony. What else am I going to say? People I was singing with in our cool music group, making music and CDs. They didn't know I was an ex-drug dealer. But Frankie did, right there going. I was like, hope he doesn't recognize me, hope he doesn't recognize me. Oh, God, of all places. There's going to come a day, you see, where the person that God called you to be, not who you were, the mistakes you've made, it's all going to collide. And you're going to have to step up and do what he called you to do. And I was like, what the heck? Here we go. I just started talking. Hey, Frankie, it's me, Berna. How's it going, dude? Started talking. Guess what? You know this feeling, Shiny. It's like breathing for the first time. Your heart's racing, but it's also then something, the anointing comes. It's like, oh, that's what I've been running from my whole life. Oh. That's why every time somebody who's suicidal or sick or their marriage is falling apart, they come by my desk and they stop and they ask one question and I say something and they start crying. I don't like people crying at my desk. I got work to do. It's the end of the month. I got things to do. I get paid to do accounting. Why do people always cry at my desk? Because you're a shepherd. And they're like sheep lost without someone to pour into their life. The problems that keep coming to you over and over, I don't want to have to deal with these things. I don't do people. I'm all people doubt. I just don't want to do people. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want to be around people. But people are like, you are the person that I want to talk to. People who have been destined from their mother's womb to reach people, to minister to people. Guess what? People are going to keep coming at you until you stop being a people opposer. Because you were called to deal with people. And you will see a recurring thing because, you know, everyone in this room, I think of you, Tiffany, and you, from the time you were born, you were probably little animals just followed you around. Yeah? Am I right? You noticed every animal. You're like the animal whisperer. I am not. I'm not a plant whisperer or an animal whisperer. They try to bite me, kick me, scratch me. I have known from my mother's womb that was not my calling. But I'm glad it's yours. She works in a vet. Someday maybe you may have your own practice. I don't know. But like I thank God because you probably get up in the morning and think about your patients. Her animal patients. Yeah, look at her nodding over there. She's like, yep, because God put that inside of her. Every one of you from your mother's womb have been destined for something. And even though we do a lot of things, We play music and we make money and we write books and we take care of our children and, you know, we go to work and we do our administration stuff or you know, we're good in sales or whatever it is. The Lord put those gifts on the inside of you, and everything he gave you is for you to reveal him to the rest of the world and to bring him glory and for your greatness and all the mojo that he put inside of you to shine where he put you. Amen? It says in Psalm 139, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about. I think every person in this room needs to get to that place, no matter what age you are. You know, if you're perky or if you're sagging, if you're skinny or fluffy, if you're black, white, I don't know what color you are. It's just like whatever it is, you need to get to the point where you can stand in the mirror and go, "How marvelous and breathtaking are your works." I love it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. God has intimate knowledge of us and desires that we grow to have intimate knowledge of him. Our first thought of God was not his first thought of us. Our God is relational, not religious and ritualistic. He wants to be intimately known by us too. David goes on and says, "You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place." What is the secret place? It's the womb. Even when a baby first goes in there, it's a secret. It's a secret to both the mother and the father. But God is doing something in that place. Carefully, skillfully, you shape me from nothing to something. I love that. From nobody to somebody. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. I love that. Before I had ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. We need to think about that. You know, if we were learning in Wednesday night, I'm almost done, you guys. We were learning in there about feelers and knowers, and there's more to come on the hearers and the seers. But for knowers, Sean and I think we were having this conversation, knowers sometimes know what other people are thinking. That's not psychic. It's just something we know. Like, I operate in many of the gifts. We're bilingual, right? But it's been really hard for me to actually go into a room and start getting a download of what someone else is thinking of me. And it's not superstition, and it's not insecurity. It's nothing like that. How many of you just know someone just has a problem with you? Like, you just know? We need to shift our thinking. And you know what? They do not determine who you are. God is having wonderful thoughts about you all the time, constantly. We need to go back to say, "Lord, what do you think of me?" That's one of my favorite questions in Sozo ministry is, "Lord, what do you say about me? What do you think about me?" Because that's been very helpful to me, to walk into a room and start just getting all the noise, all the chatter. Everything's, and I'm like, "That one likes me. That one thinks I'm, okay." Well, whatever, because you don't get to decide. You guys know what I'm talking about. You're reading the room. Don't own any of that. I love what Havilah said. She said, feelers need to learn how to feel. Knowers need to learn how to know the room, but don't own the room. And don't let the room own you. Okay? You got to be able to stand in your greatness when you walk in there, because people are going to be thinking all kinds of things. There's people that are thinking crazy all the time, and they just bring their crazy in the room. And you need to know that God is constantly having wonderful thoughts about you. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. I love that. God doesn't leave you through the night. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's awake all the time, so you don't have to be. Go to sleep. Wonder what's on God's mind tonight, and you're awake at 2 a.m. in the morning. Listen, just give it a rest. His thoughts are way more, they're more complex, they're more in number and magnitude. If you get one good God thought, just hold on to that one and meditate on that one. I've walked into hostile rooms many times in my life going, "He loves me." There's never a "he loves me not." "He loves me." There was a season where I had daisies in my yard. I'd pick them, and I'd bring one to work with me because I felt like everybody in there was antagonistic and hostile. In fact, there was like 10 hostile work environment cases that I had to go represent as a human resource director. And I knew there was hostility toward me. How many of you have ever worked in an environment like that? And I would bring my daisy to work, and I'd put it on my desk. And then I'd go, he loves me, 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 he loves me. You know, the he loves me not, he loves me. And then you get to the last one, if it's he loves me not, you suck. Yeah. Verna don't play that game. I'm like, that's why I love daisies. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Never loves me not. You can play that game if you want, but not me. Because he loves me. I don't lose in this game. Ever. You can love me or you can love me not, but he will always love me. And you can walk away from my life, and you can break your promises, and you can betray me, and you can do whatever you do, being you, because hurt people hurt people. But guess what? This girl's been healed by the one who loves me. And his love is so great that I have an unoffendable heart. Love you, boo. You go figure out. When you figure out that he doesn't love you not, then maybe you can come back and love me. But until then, he loves me. 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 And from my mother's womb, he has loved me. He has known my name. He has called me. He has destined me. He has purposed me. And he's watching over me even when I sleep. And he'll be there when I wake up in the morning. Hallelujah. I want to jump down for just a second and go through this real quick. God who loves us puts us in a womb of development. There are so many spiritual parallels here. When God puts you in a womb of development, it's very important that you don't run out of that womb of development early. And it gets uncomfortable, especially when you get down to the point where God's about ready to birth you out into the destiny that he has had for you before you even seen the light of day. And when you're in a womb of development, God will surround you with wisdom. He will surround you with people who can help foster and nurture the things that God put on the inside of you. And I can't tell you how many people have had all that support and all that prayer and all those resources and all those finances and all that love. And they got too big for their britches. And they take matters into their own hands. We've seen preemie babies. In fact, Mother Doreen has been showing us one that we've been praying for. She's like 1.6 pounds now, right? 3 pounds now. But the complications with being a premature baby are staggering. And many of them do not develop to have a normal life and cannot do the things that other babies that came to full term can do. Some of them God supernaturally graces, and you know, they make it through. Praise God for that. But we run a high risk of aborting many of the dreams that God has for us, had for us since our mother's womb. When we run off and we take matters into our own hands. So number one, when we take matters into our own hands, we produce the will of man instead of the will of God. And we see that with Sarah and Ishmael, right? Abraham and Sarah, God gave them a word that they were going to have a baby. They tried to produce something prematurely. God still blessed Ishmael. But we have problems in the Middle East today because of that particular act. And we can trace it all the way back to that. Trying to make what God said happen in our own strength. When God says something's going to happen, he will make it happen. And many times it will happen way after we thought it should. Just because there's a delay doesn't mean there's a denial. In fact, God can do it whenever he wants to do it, and he usually chooses to do it after man can't do it anymore. Where you realize, my junk don't work no more. And she's barren. And we still have a promise. God didn't ask you to make it happen. He asked you to believe. Amen? And to wait. Number two, when we become impatient, we often uproot and leave our womb of development prematurely and become a spiritual preemie who is underdeveloped, deficient, and not strong enough to carry the promise. And that's the truth. I've seen so many people go, oh, you know, God called me to do X. Y, Z. And usually the ones that aren't developed go, he called me to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z, all because I am great. And I'm ready. How many of you have seen that? They haven't even learned to walk straight or walk at all. You gotta stay in the womb of development. And God has a mother's womb for you to come through, but he also has a spiritual womb for you to be developed in. Number three, during seasons of waiting on God, he's teaching us to be patient and steadfast instead of restless. Number four, the mature have learned to conquer restlessness, rest in God's timing, trust him, and stay planted. Stay planted. Spiritual preemies, number five, become restless and run from place to place, trying to make things happen in their own human strength. Number six, spiritual preemies don't understand seed time and harvest. They become jealous of the harvest of those who sowed, watered, waited, developed, and reaped. They push into a season or position they need more time to be ready for, and that causes many problems. Number seven, we must trust God's timing and be faithful in waiting and under pressure. He has a good plan for our lives and no backup plan. His plans will always prevail with our trust and cooperation. You know, God has said so many things about this house, about you, about us as a whole. Do you know that churches have a seasons of development too? Churches go through, you know, birthing, and they go through toddler stage. Then they go through middle school stage, and then they kind of go through like a high school stage, and you know, on up. But churches need leaders, pillars, people that understand. Kids fight. Just put some kids in a room together, and they're like, "Yay! So glad you came over. Let's play. Oh, I want that toy because you have it." Yeah? My favorite color is red, but right now you have a blue floaty, so I want a blue floaty. Because you have a blue floaty. Now y'all are nodding. There's jealousy, there's fighting. You know what, we're still family. You go through these things, and it's like, if you try to start expanding and launching out, how many of you want to put your kids in charge of your house, your money, your car, and you just step back and go, they're ready. Let's bring about 1,000 more people in this room and let them just deal with it. Why y'all laughing? No parent in their right mind is going to do that. In fact, we may take short trips to the store, but we got to come back in 10 minutes because we know they will have burnt the house down if we're gone for 30. There's little tests we give them. Yeah? And then we start seeing them being responsible. We start seeing them being able to take care of things. And, you know, sometimes as a parent, you'll just say, oh, no, you need to go home. We need to prune that friend out of your life. How many of you have had to prune some friends out of their life? But they're my friend. And you're like, I don't care. They steal. And they lie. And they play with matches. And they don't listen, and they don't respect. Not even me, and this is my house. Excuse me, I run this house. You understand? I've had to do some pruning in my kids' life. Well, you don't get to do that. They're my friend. I'll talk to them at school. I'm like, that's fine. You can talk to them at school. Teacher can beat them when they're there. They ain't coming in this house no more. The Lord loves us. He has destined us for greatness. He put us in our mother's womb. It's His secret place. We didn't arrive here by accident. But there's many things that He's developing in us. And for the rest of your life, you still will be in some form of development. Many of you have left the spiritual womb that God developed you in. And if you have that age in the Lord, and I'm not talking about just natural age, but you have that age in the Lord, and you've been through some experiences, the body of Christ really needs you right now to help mentor, to help disciple, to help bring up another generation. Amen? Because God has plans for you. He has plans for this house. He's not done with you. He had a purpose for you from your mother's womb to the tomb. And if you're not in the tomb today, I want to tell you something. There's still greatness inside of you. There's more for you to do. There's things that God wants to trust you with in this next year. That last year, the year before, he doesn't patronize you, but He just didn't see that you were ready for it. And I believe there is a great growth that is about ready to happen. Stop looking at who left you. They didn't leave you. God removed them for your good. Amen. I love you all. Stand to your feet. Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the word that has saved our soul. I pray in this house, Lord, every single one of us would get activated, and that not one of us would go another year without winning somebody over to you, without revealing who you are. I pray, Lord, we could multiply 10x, 100x, 100x in the next 5 years if every one of us says, Lord, show me what you want for me to do, and I will do it. If you've never received Jesus, let's do that right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Love somebody great on your way out. Make sure you tell your mother, thank you. Thank you for the use of your womb, Mama.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.